ago, you were filming skateboarders and making skateboard videos, and then just a couple of months ago, your work has been streamed and used and featured by NBC Universal, Al Jazeera, Reuters. So how did you get started with streaming live news?
Yeah, I've always been filming. I've been skateboarding, and cinematography was kind of just always in the background. So I had gone actually to the Occupy Wall Street events, and one of the defenses they have is filming the police, defenses for the police violence. So that was kind of something everyone did. But, you know, on day 8, there was fear that the police were actually targeting the journalists. So I was asked to download this mobile streaming app so that if anything happened to those who were broadcasting, I could take over. And, you know, I quickly started exploring the technology, making it more efficient. And, you know, initially I just wanted to document. And then as people started to join in, because, you know, this is a social media platform, and through finding out on my Twitter, I started narrating to give them context. And people really appreciated how I went about doing it, and it exploded.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about how you did that, because here you would be reporting on protests, reporting on live events, streaming video, but you were interacting with users at the same time. So tell us what value that brought, and how did you make that work?
That's what really, you know, drove it, and I think that's what's really important, the way things are going. For the longest time, information exchange has always been one way, where you look at a box and it tells you something. But when this started happening, it was actually people coming into my video and telling me things I didn't know, or actually asking me questions.
The police square.
Yeah.
The square.
There's one instance where the police were taking IDs in order for people to use the sidewalk, and I got on my, you know, I'm going to broadcast on my phone. Someone told me it was happening, and I was able to run down and check it out, and then show people this is actually happening.
So, how did you move from Occupy Wall Street to other events? Tell us about some of the other recent news events that you've been covering.
The most recent event, I was in Quebec for the Montreal student protests, and you know it's really interesting to see that. And before that, you know, one of the biggest things I did cover was the NATO protests, which had, you know, at least 5,000 people, I think. I mean, the Quebec protest was much bigger. I think it was 40,000 people. That wasn't even the biggest. But it's amazing how social media, predominantly Twitter, you know, using mobile, is decentralizing the ability to share information. And it's still not completely normalized. We still have a one-way flow, especially with something like Ustream, what I'm using. But as time goes on, it's starting to balance out where we're going to be sharing information one-on-one with each other, as opposed to looking at, you know, someone way up above who's going to tell us what we want.
Like the New York Times.
Yeah, maybe.
But so there's just been an explosion of user-generated content in the last couple of years because so many people are using their phones to gather content, and large news organizations like the New York Times are, you know, every day looking at all of this content and figuring out what we can use to help report and tell stories. Now, you object to the term citizen journalist. So tell us why you object to the term citizen journalist, which has been a term that's been around for a long time.
Yeah.
And tell us how you describe what you do.
We hear citizen journalist a lot, and it's used in almost any context for anything. It's frustrating because quite often it's used as a pejorative for somebody who might not be a traditional, you know, went to journalism school, works for a big company. Oh,
for the record, I don't consider it a pejorative.
I know, you're next. But I consider this social media journalism in that people have, you know, all around, have started picking up things, you know, like Twitter, it's, you know, the obvious example, but also blogging before that, and now things like live broadcasting through Ustream, Livestream, all that stuff. They're using social media specifically to tell their story, as opposed to, you know, writing something and then submitting it and trying to get someone to share it for you. You don't have to do that anymore. I mean, there are people who go out to big events. There's one Twitter account, it's at New Yorkist, and he's well known for just going to these events and tweeting about them, and that's his main channel for communication.
And what are the major, what are the tools that people to live stream. You use Ustream. There's also live stream.
Yeah, there's very few that actually have a mobile application. It's one of the reasons I use Ustream. It's an iPhone or an Android. You know, we're in smartphone age, and people can do almost everything. It's really amazing. So for everybody who has a phone, you probably got a camera on it, and you can take pictures, tweet it. You can tell your story from where you are without someone, you know, telling you it's not important. You make it to yourself, and then anybody who finds it important can find it.
Great. I'm wondering, do we have any questions from the audience for Tim? Yes.
Are you going to be at the National Gathering in Philly from June 30th to July 4th?
Quite possibly. I was asked to go there, so there's a big gathering in Philadelphia, and there's, yeah, I'm going to be there.
What kind of gathering?
It's the Occupy Wall Street, like, National Gathering event. So I typically go to cover big political events, like I was at CPAC and, NATO and the thing in Montreal. I've been traveling around.
And so how do you also manage, and you've talked about this a little bit, just the role of advocate or people seeing you as an advocate versus the role of observer with a camera, you know, reporting and telling the story of what's going on?
I guess people make the decision just because you're there, you must be an advocate. And so I tell people, when it comes to politics, it's a lot of subjective morals, and some people believe some things are right, and some people believe some things are wrong. So my thing is, if we can just show everyone what's happening for what it is, then they'll be able to make a decision much better than one person who thinks he knows what's right and is going to tell you what to do. But even more importantly is that the distributed ideas of everyone in the world will come together to make, will calculate much, more accurately than one person trying to solve the problem. So that's why something like Twitter, Facebook, blogging is so important, because we can, and Reddit, we can see all of these ideas coming together. And then you have platforms like Reddit that actually allow some of the better ideas to rise to the top, and things that people find more pertinent will come up and become visible.
And service. Do you have a question?
It's really interesting the way the old style of journalism works, I guess, from what I experienced. There are some institutions that think, so you've got a smartphone, you're not press, you need to work for a big company who has money. And then there's like really no real, line. It's confusing, very confusing.
And it's also when the protest was, when the encampment was disrupted, was taken apart, by police, was it earlier this year or the end of last year?
End of last year.
Then all of the reporters with credentials were removed, but there were so many people in the encampments with phones that all of the events that unfolded after that were documented and then reported by traditional media.
There's one thing that's really important about all of this technology that we have now, the mobile social stuff is, for a long time we had, like I was saying, directional information where you have this box telling you things. And now all of a sudden the internet comes along and we can start sending things back into it. And like I was saying before, it's still lopsided, but we're starting to experience this problem. Many people might be familiar with the term the filter bubble, where Google is starting to now say, we've analyzed all your data, we think this is what you want. So people are losing the ability to just discover. And I think that's one of the things that's amazing about Twitter, is that you can decide what you want. And, however, they do have the recommended, follow list. So this is the next step towards balancing out all of us being equals in the field of sharing ideas and information, pitching your idea to the world, and letting it flow through naturally.
So what's your advice for people who want to get started?
I think it's not about wanting to get started. You should all get started. You should all have, if you have a phone, use it. Take pictures, tell your story, and be on Twitter. I mean, I'm sure all of you are here because you're here.
And everyone has a story to tell.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.